to tackle this look at long story short, and we're on to this part of the... I don't know about you, but I love a good story. There's something about stories that draw us. And in all good stories, when we get a sense in conflict, sometimes we hope that that they'll find a way out of it. Basically, we long for hope. We might say we'd be Lord of the Rings. I like the fantasy stuff. If I'm in a good fantasy series, my wife even wonders why I'm in the house. You know, it's just, I'm useless to everybody. I'm just lost in the characters. The people that I actually know. Evil. I think that's one of the things I like about fantasy series. The evil, the ring wraths, and you know, path of evil going throughout, and it has all things, deals with this ring and this other path, and it seems pretty remote, but there's... You know, and I think, to be honest with you, when I look at those stories, it's of darkness and paths of light, ordinary life. We see this in some of the characters. Probably one of I understand his messiness. But, you know, I love his desire so wholeheartedly. I love the stories of Joseph. Stories, too. There's this power of evil at work. It looks like it's all hopeless. And last week, we started with that on, Dave's fall, right? Creation, it's all God's good earth. Everything was looking so promising. Then we came to the fall, and we suddenly have this hope even in the midst of that. But creation groans, we groan, there's pain, there's struggle to redemption. But all the way back in Genesis, right after, we're at part of that in our story. From now on, you and the woman, you're going to make his heel, but here we go, he will crush your head. We have this beautiful hope of evil being, and we're hoping that that's the case. Territory. After the first service, I felt like basically I was going to preach all the way through, and because there's so much, a lot of Bibles, about 800 pages. What do I want? Help me a little bit here? All right, I'm going to do it again. There we go. Adam and Eve. So we're, you know, biblical history, and I'm going to preach, so I'm going to preach all the way through here, all the way through here, all the way through here. So get ready, strap yourself in, hope you brought a lunch. This is a ton of history. A ton of date that we have to get a handle on is probably Abraham around. We have the fall. We have the story of Cain and Abel. But, you know, we still deal with that. Murder just took place just across there, right? Spreads. A little further into Genesis before we get to Abraham. A little further we come to, and we see a God. But that's scary. It's a little bit of a scary story. After the reboot, we come to this story, individual Cain's sin, and then sin as the world, sin spreads. Sin doesn't stick with individuals. It spreads. And so then we come just in that path of light and how this is going to go. But when the flood comes, when the Lord saw the extent of the evil, he was sorry he had made them. It's that his desire, oneness with us, for unity, we threw it all out. And it broke God's heart. As a little further with the tower, this verse struck me. Said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with a name for ourselves, lest we be just make a name for ourselves. And it reminds me, you will define what a God is. You'll be one. Make a name for yourself. In action of the Creator's definition of how life works. And we see mankind trying to live. And while it all looks so bleak then, Cain does kill Abel, but then we read about this hope. And as I said, we see a God who's fully capable of wiping out evil if he wants to, but he does, tough story to understand in some ways, but he does have this rainbow of promise so that they live according to his good purposes. Named Abraham. At this time, he's Abram. Later on, some more. He's going to a showcase of what does it look like to live in. Look at it with me. Then the Lord said to Abram, go from your country. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will curse. And of all the peoples on the earth, you will a step into God's plan to redeem what, again, what life looks like. Blessings and curses. Life versus death. And so Abraham has promised blessings. And you will bless the world through all of this. And God invites him to wholeness again. Now, some might say, it wouldn't be anything particularly special about him. He comes, like he calls all his broken children. To leave, and he is sent. All that defines him, in a way. Defines him. And God is saying, and I'm going to let you, we're going to make a name for ourselves. Notice what it says in Genesis 12:2. I will make your name great. Name for yourself, how? Well, through all these. I will define you as you are created to be. So trust the Creator. And you don't let your fears and your shame and your don't let that define you. Don't make a name. What's this going to require? It is going to require. And I think my dad passed away not that long ago, but you know, just thinking, no work, didn't know a language. Left family and friends behind. And my dad talked to them. We will never see them again. Never be able to make this massive trip again. And it was on a boat. It took forever. Leave it all behind. That's why Abraham embraces a hope. Go down that path. And the response, well, to make a better life for you guys. But their grandkids. And you know, that's kind of how it went. Out of Abraham comes a nation. What is this nation? Abraham is being told also that this is about you. But when you're blessed to be a blessing. You know, I'm going to count my blessings. And I name all the good things that are happening to me. And we all say, oh, isn't that come from this? When Scripture says, for everyone who has been given much, asked. And I think in this, so you can be the one who blesses. That's the call here. That's what Abraham has. That's the Abraham. And then through us for others. Jacob. Right? There, this God of Jacob become the 12 tribes. And you see this God whose story of Joseph. He's sold by a bunch of jealous brothers into slavery. Of all of Egypt. The most powerful country of the day. Yes. And then 400 years of history happen where those descendants grow and grow and grow. They become a nation. A nation of slaves. A nation, and Abraham going, yeah, that's where we find ourselves in this story. That's why I say, that's exactly what he hoped for. It kind of looks like God who is faithfully at work. I don't always love the timing. We're talking 400 years of history here. So, you know, keep that in mind too. You kind of know the story that I've taken out of them. To this guy, let the people go. That self-made gods don't measure up. Are freed. They're freed to, and here's the weird thing then, they're in the wilderness in Israel too. And it is indeed that. There's nothing there. Shaping of slaves into citizens of God. In a slave nation for 400 years, you think like. And they learn to trust. God says, there you go. I got you right where I want you. Plenty. That's been my best growth times. Hardship helps us learn. And then we come to Exodus 19. So we God and the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, what you are to say to the descendants of Jacob. Notice how God, you yourselves have seen what I did in Egypt. Okay? And how I carried you in eagle's wings. Obey me fully. Then out of all the nations you will be my kingdom, not of slaves, a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are people yet again of his desire to bring the image bearer back to restoration and wholeness that God intended from the get-go. And we see this redemption, a treasured possession. I'm going to learn to live life like God created. Show the world what holy living looks like. Being this holy showcase nation so that everybody will see, oh, wow, really, that's what it is to walk with God? Of God, bear his image. Tent. Right, it was kind of this traveling tabernacle or tent. Enough. We need images, we need pictures, we need all kinds of gratitude. Remember, it all comes from God. All, suddenly something dies in my place. That's not going to cut it. That doesn't work. Think about the church. So think of this verse right here where you're right. Talking to us, to the church. Holy nation. Us? God, out of darkness into his wonderful light. Priestly task to that holy living for the sake of so good and the rest of the world is oh so bad. And we say we are to be a go-between, a people, a priestly people, a showcase of what it looks like to live in the love of God. The world then to join them into how life works. What's not working. The rest of the Old Testament is a commentary on life. promise to Abraham. The 12 tribes, they eventually get, but remember, you're to live out that promise for the sake of the world somehow. When Joshua comes to the end of his Joshua 24, now to his, but a serving of the Lord seems undesirable to you, and you see the ancestors served beyond the Euphrates, the gods of the Amorites. Who brought you there? I did. Okay, let's make that straight here. In the land you are living. But as a whole, cry out, we're in. Yeah, that's us. To this old trap. If you want, you will create your life. They keep going between God's phrase. And I've noticed it when I've taught Bible for men with a divided heart. And time again, with that divided heart, they change a leader. Time we'll get it right. We didn't. Back and forth, back and forth. And we get judges. And really the cycle goes, they settle things down again. Everybody kind of gets it straight. And they go down that path again. And if Samuel, one of the judges was Samuel, he said this. Notice, not a divided heart. With all your hearts, rid yourselves of the foreign gods. Commit yourself to the Lord. Sir, there's all these prophets that God sends. Spokespersons for Micah, lots and lots of prophets. Here's an example. Having a contest between, I've just said before the people, here we go, 1 Kings 18. If the Lord's God, go for it. Choose. And then this sad, sad line for me, at least I think it's stuck in neutral somewhere. It often kind of gets it. He's a mess. But he wants that. Teach me your way, Lord, that you ever get sick of a divided heart? For whole hearts. And then here, this line. Everyone did as they saw fit. I think they were describing it. And they said, we want a king, and then weird, like thinking it's going to improve their situation. It really doesn't. The roll out, and you know, it repeats itself. He really, really, really needs a hero. And we can't find them or her. It's a bill. Nobody can save the day. Abraham, you will have a land. And we get to the time now where the nation splits in two. The 10 are basically never heard of again. That's not going to work either. Empty. Judge after judge, king after king, prophet after prophet. Like Scripture says, no one is right. We find ourselves despairing in the story. It's not going to work. They were always being cast out. Where's the hero? I don't. A scepter. The scepter will not depart from until the coming of the one to whom it belongs, that it might refer to as well. But really, it's talking about way more than that. There is going to be the one. You rest with your ancestors, right? Talking of the king there. I will raise the one who's going to build a house for me. Referring to Solomon there and about the temple. But the house for me and forever. But I just eventually end up in exile. Babylonians and the Assyrians wipe out old whack of them. They're depressing. Picture after picture after picture saying, this is where it's going. They remind, well, we you know, there's this whole thing. The angel of death's going to come. Oh, it's going to pass over you guys. I'm going to ask, what's this mean? The Israelites in Egypt. And though he struck the Egyptians, he spared our families. And when Moses finished speaking, remember the true story that's actually going on. Remember the holy nation, a priestly nation. Remember you're supposed to be the... Oh yeah, right, you have divided hearts. You keep forgetting the sacrifices, right? Remember blood and sprinkling it on people. Then we read here in Hebrews where we write, how much more then, self unblemished. Wow, there's this lamb. Unblemished. So we may serve the living God. You see our hero. He, this God of hope, is constantly trying to show us which we might call consequences. He used the land. They're back in slavery. Lost. The promises seem empty because mankind can't hold up their end of the... He's our only hope for restoration because we don't got it. That guy shows up, when that hero shows up, then the eyes of the blind yell out shouts of joy and water. That'd be amazing. Ezekiel, you know what? God told me, I'm going to gird in them. I'm going to remove from them their heart of stone. I'm going to give them a heart of flesh. Oh, their ways of living.
my people, and I'm going to be their God, and we're
somehow our hearts get remade. Once again, be that holy nation we can want. Wanted Abraham and his line of to be. We'll be the people of hope. Redemption and renewal is made possible. And a whole new story. One that's with a happily ever after.